Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
FanDuel's got an offer you don't want to miss this NFL season. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season is here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When it comes to what your family eats and drinks, you know your choices matter. You're the expert because you know what fits your life. And getting it right starts with good information. That's why America's beverage companies are sharing more information about our ingredients at goodtoknowfacts.org. No spin, no judgments, just the facts straight from the experts for more than 140 beverage ingredients. Visit goodtoknowfacts.org.
Introducing Oakley Meta Vanguard, the new performance AI glasses designed for athletes. With hands-free capture on an action-ready ultra-wide camera, powerful open-ear speakers, and built-in Meta AI that syncs with your Garmin devices for real-time insights while you train. Take your performance to the next level with Oakley Meta Vanguard. Athletic intelligence is here. Learn more on meta.com.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Thursday, October 23rd, and this is your daily Go Birds Morning Update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And who let me get my voice back? I'm feeling good. I'm feeling better. Thank you to everybody that, listened to the pod with me and with my sick voice. But I'm feeling better, which means must be Eagles football soon. We are now just 2 days away from the next Eagles game, and man, do we got a lot to get into today. Brandon Graham was on the practice field on Wednesday. Another key player not on the practice field. The Eagles made some roster moves. We got some trade rumors. We got some potential Jalen Hurts contract talk. Too much to get into to hold up anymore with small talk. So, on the schedule for today, practice begins at 2:15. We'll get a chance to see if some key players who are not out there on Wednesday will be out there for Thursday. And then at 4:30, the locker room opens, where hopefully we'll hear from some of the key guys. AJ, Devontae, Saquon, always good to hear from those three. So 2:15, have your phone out. That'll be our first chance to see who's practicing. And then 4:30, the locker room opens, our first chance to talk to some of the key players on the week. But as I've mentioned a few times, there was a key player not on the field Wednesday, as AJ Brown did not practice due to a hamstring injury. We went out on the practice field. He was there in his number 11 sweater, not his number 11 jersey. And we'll find out if he's able to play on Sunday. My guess is he probably is, and this is more of a maintenance thing. Obviously had an outstanding game this past Sunday against the Vikings. Seemed, you know, he didn't talk after the game, but wasn't limping after the game. So hopefully this is just a maintenance thing and he's able to be out there on Sunday. But noteworthy that he did not practice. Also didn't talk, so we didn't get to hear any more about his latest Instagram post. But hopefully today he's practicing. Hopefully today we hear from him. And we will see what the latest is. But A.J. Brown not practicing due to a hamstring injury would obviously be a big blow. If he can't play, Jahan Dotson's been better this year. Devontae's coming off a career game. But I think we know A.J. is the straw that stirs the drink when it comes to that receiver unit. So A.J. Brown didn't practice. We'll see if he's out there today. In addition, Adoree Jackson not out there due to a concussion. Azeez Ojulari not out there due to a hamstring injury. And Jeremiah Trotter Jr. not practicing due to an ankle. Those were all expected. I don't think any of those players will be playing on Sunday. The other key player not practicing, Cam Jurgens. Cam Jurgens suffered a knee injury against the Vikings. Didn't finish the game. Brett Toth was out there and was not out there at practice on Wednesday. I'm less sure he's not going to play. I think there's still a chance. I think today's a big day. We'll see if he's out there. If he's not out there today, then he's probably not playing. So we'll get our answer on Cam today. If they don't play him, then I think you will see Brett Toth probably at center again. I do not think they will try to put Landon Dickerson at center for 1 week. I think they will put Brett Toth there, keep Landon at his spot, and try that for one game. But it's a tough matchup against that Giants defensive line. So hopefully Cam can play, but if not, it'll be the Brett Toth experience for another week. In other injury news, Jacorian Bennett was a limited participant due to a pectoral injury. He was activated, or I should say his practice window was activated on Wednesday. So we'll see if he plays on Sunday. We'll get a better read on that today. Greg Calcaterra, limited with the oblique. Landon Dickerson, limited with an ankle slash back injury. Dallas Goedert, calf was limited, and Moro Ojomo with a shoulder injury, also limited. Brandon Graham, though, the story of the day, was a full participant. So Brandon Graham, full participant. We'll have some audio from him in a second, but it seems like he could play on Sunday. I got into a discussion with Rob Ellis on Go Birds Evenings Wednesday night about that. Go check it out. It's in your podcast feed. You want to see him play. You want to see him do well. Really hope they're not rushing him back. But before we get into the Brandon Graham news and everything he had to say, got to update you guys on the book drive. First of all, shout out to everybody that has made a donation. If this is the first time you're hearing about it, I'm working with Treehouse Books again this year. And if you've heard about it a bunch, I'm sorry, but this is an important thing for me. And I really want to help this charity out the best I can. Treehouse Books in North Philadelphia, they work to get books into the hands of children. They help students get at the correct reading level. Product of the public school system. My mom worked in public education. My dad's a teacher. My sister's a teacher. So it's important to me. So thank you to everybody that went to the page and made a donation. And I mean, Eric, George, Susan, Nicole, Chris the Cool, thank you guys so much for the donations. And for those out there that have created a team that are trying to win the Zach Bond signed football, updated standings, the WIP Afternoon Show currently winning with $225. They could be a force. So if you're trying to beat them, I would get going. Needle Nest Charitable Endeavors sitting in second place at 110. And Sam and Friends and 9920 both tied at $100. And maybe my favorite name so far, the Hoagies, sitting there at $10. So they're behind, but in money only, not in name or spirit. So thank you to everybody that has made a donation. Means the world to me. If you haven't yet, the link is at the top of my Twitter page. Anything you could give would be a big deal. The top team wins a Zach Bond signed football. And if you raise $100, you get a custom t-shirt that will be released soon by Dewani Soraya, the best local artist in the city, in my opinion. All right, let's get right into it. So as I mentioned, Brandon Graham back at practice on Wednesday. Go out on the practice field. First thing you see, first thing everyone's looking at, Brandon's out there. He's got the Kelly Green helmet on, number 55. He's stretching. He's shaking hands with everybody. And it was awesome to see him out there. Obviously, I've made my feelings known how, you know, I wish he would have stayed retired. But when you see him out there, it's hard not to root for the guy. So he was happy. He was smiling, talked in the locker room. And as I mentioned, he was a full participant. So the real question now is, will he play on Sunday? So Brandon was asked kind of what the difference for him between being in shape and being in football shape is. And here's what Brandon had to say.
There's being in shape and there's football shape. How long does it take to get in football shape?
Well, you know what, man? I don't feel too far off, honestly, because I've been training like just like my whole training camp for the past 2.5-3 months, and I feel good. Just feel like now it's just about trying to be able to talk my trash and work out at the same time. So today was kind of like after like 4 plays, I was like, oh yeah, let me get out, tap my head, it's over with.
Yeah, so you hear him say the thing about the 4 snaps, and that's not super ideal. I had to tap his helmet to leave after 4 snaps, but I think there's a good chance he dresses on Sunday. I don't know how much he'll play, but they're super short at the position. Aziz Ojulari is not playing. Obviously, Nolan Smith is still on IR, so they need bodies out there. And I think, frankly, the incentive to have him introduced in front of a sold-out crowd, Kelly Green jerseys, last person introduced, I think it's going to be too hard to pass up. So we'll see how much he's out there. I do think he will probably play. He's already on the active roster, right? So it's not like they need to clear a roster spot for him. They have 52 players. He's a 53rd player. And I think he'll be out there. So today will be a big day to see how he feels after having his first full practice in a football uniform since, the Super Bowl week, right? Like leading up to it. So we'll see how he feels today. But as the season kind of focuses on Brandon, it's looking more and more like he could be out there on Sunday and make his 2025 season debut. Okay, let's get into some non-Brandon Graham stuff, because Eagles do play a game this week, and it's a big game. It is a revenge game, and it's not often the Eagles play a revenge game against the Giants. Normally, it's the Giants that want the revenge, but after the, let's be honest, embarrassing loss to the Giants 2 weeks ago, it'll be the Eagles that should be the one coming out to this game extra motivated. And Nick Sirianni was asked whether or not the Giants, the poor performance against the Giants from the last game is extra motivation for them. So here's what Nick had to say about that.
Every game, obviously, if we're getting up more for one game than the other, then we're not doing our job on a consistent basis. And so that's why you try to keep that same boring mindset over and over and over and over again, regardless of the opponent, regardless of anything. So, it's business as usual. And I've said this before. It's like, hey, if you need a little extra motivation and that doesn't distract, it's always about, does it distract you to put that extra motivation on you? Then don't use it. If it helps you, use it. Like, everybody's a little bit different there. Our job is to go through the same process and go. There's steps required to win. There's steps required to be ready to play, and it's about those steps, and that's what we'll be about. We know we got an opponent that that beat us a week ago, and our job is to get ready for every opponent the exact same way, and we'll be doing that.
I agree, whatever motivates you. If it's not something that does it for you, Nick hyping it up isn't going to do it for you. If it is something that does it for you, then yeah, I think it's good motivation. I'll just say, if you went back and listened to the Jordan Mailata show, it's very clear he feels very motivated about it. He feels he had a terrible game against that team. Landon Dickerson talked about wanting revenge, and he didn't even play in that game. One thing that is, I think, genuine is these players do hate the division rivals. You know, I wonder if it's like a college thing where they get told who the rival is and they just immediately jump into it. But the sense I've always gotten, because they do have a relatively young team in a lot of ways, is that they are very into the rivalry thing. We know Nick is into it. He has a rivalry wall in the facility. But for the Giants to embarrass the Eagles the way they did in prime time, like on Thursday night, and really a game that, they doubled them up in the score, a game where the Eagles were heavy favorites, I think they should be using it as extra motivation. I think that it absolutely should be something that gives them an extra spark this Thursday, because if they go out and lose this game, that's a disastrous loss. We're going to talk about the Giants throughout the week, but losing this game would be a brutal, brutal loss for the Eagles. Frankly, even it being close, I'm not saying you have to blow them out, but if the Eagles don't play well and the Giants lose, but it's a game where we all leave and go, man, the Eagles were lucky to win that one. Even that's not good enough. I do think there is an aspect to this game of going out and showing the Giants that you're still the top dog in the division. Because let's be real, the Giants probably aren't afraid of the Eagles. They just beat them a few weeks ago. So I definitely think this is a game that has some extra juice for the players. And speaking of juice, Nick Sirianni was asked a question about Devontae Smith and his toughness. And I just thought his answer on it was so good that I wanted to play it for you guys. So here is Nick talking about Devontae Smith and the toughness he brings to the team.
Devontae is so tough that, and he knows that we talk a lot about, and I know he talked a lot about this in college, and about finishing runs and finding ways to get ugly yards after the catch. And he gonna go look for those ugly runs and extra yards because of just his makeup and who he is and the toughness that he has. I think sometimes, like I remember the Super Bowl in 22, our first third down, he catches a little shallow route and Reed comes over and just smokes him on the sideline. And he hit him good. I don't know if you remember, his feet were up over his head and Smitty just gets up fast. And I think about that there was also the game in 22 against the Cardinals, or someone came over and just drilled him on a wide receiver screen and he pops up. It just shows his toughness. And then his ability to just keep getting back up. Sometimes you don't want him to take those hits. There's a time that to go out of bounds, but he is always looking for the grimy, gritty yards. And that's, you try to show your physicality and your toughness many different ways. And I think there brings a lot of energy to guys when you see Smitty lower his shoulder and get those extra yards. I think about 23. We threw a little screen to him in 23 on 3rd and 14 in the San Francisco game. And he broke through three tackles and got a first down in it. And we were struggling a little bit at the time, and it brought life. We didn't win that game, but it brought life to everybody. And I think that's what a big play can do. And that's what, a great assist from a teammate can do. And that's what great toughness shown on tape can do, is because those are the things we talk about all the time, is can just bring that energy to a football team. And I think he consistently does that. And he keeps getting up and he keeps fighting. And he delivers, I know he gets hit sometimes like that, but he delivers a lot of blows as well.
It gets said so much, but it's worth repeating again. Like, Devontae just never gets the credit he deserves. And that's on, the media, me included. Like, everyone knows he's a great player, but when it comes to the top 100, when it comes to the all pros, he doesn't get it. And look, maybe he'll get the chance next year in 2026 to be the team's number one receiver. I think the only chance he had in 2021 wasn't a real fair look at it. He was a rookie. Nick Sirianni was a rookie head coach. Jalen was essentially a rookie quarterback. I'd be curious to see how he would do as a number one, but I just thought, that quote deserved to be one that that fans heard, because Devontae's been awesome this year. He's on track for, I think, easily over 1,000 yards, maybe like close to 1,500 yards. Was obviously huge against the Vikings. Just shows how much one game can really change the outlook of the season. But yeah, I mean, Devontae's a critical player for him in the locker room too. Like, he's super tight with AJ, very close with everybody. I think AJ often is always viewed as a disgruntled one, but Devontae too wants the ball and wants the credit, and he should. So I thought that quote was worth sharing with you guys.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, next up, our good buddy Brandon Lee Gowen of Bleeding Green Nation posted this on Bleeding Green Nation. It had flown under the radar for me. I didn't see it, but I thought it was a very interesting article and potentially like the beginning of what's going to be a story all offseason. And it's an article on ESPN. And the question is, what is the most interesting looming offseason quarterback contract situation? So a long question, but an important one, and one where I think the Eagles, as we're going to find out, are certainly involved. Last year, after Jalen won the Super Bowl, they didn't give him a new deal, and it sounds like two NFL insiders, Dan Graziano and Jeremy Fowler, think that that could happen. So there's no audio here, but here is what Graziano wrote about it. Quote, "Speaking of below market deals, I'll throw one back again at the quarterback extension class of 2023 and bring up Jalen Hurts. He went first that offseason before Jackson, Joe Burrow, and Justin Herbert got their deals. As a result, all of those guys make more than Hurts. Since that deal, Hurts has gone 32-12 and won a Super Bowl MVP. Hurts is signed through 2028 with a $51.5 million fully guaranteed for 2026, so there might not be a need to discuss an extension this coming offseason. But he's also the 11th highest paid quarterback in the league by average annual salary, behind a lot of guys who've accomplished a lot less than he has. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Eagles address this situation next spring or summer. I would be surprised if Hurts wanted to go first this time rather than wait to see what happens with Jackson and others." To which Jeremy Fowler responds, quote, "How Hurts plays over the next 10 games plus the playoffs could determine the path forward there. If he catalyzes another deep playoff run, the Eagles would be smart to approach him. His passing from the pocket has been erratic, to be sure, but all he does is win, and he's a plus in the toughness and intangible categories," end quote. So I was surprised Jalen didn't get a new deal after he won the Super Bowl last year. I know it was only 2 years two years into that contract, but talk about your value being at an all-time high. I know there's some debate over the year he had, but your Super Bowl MVP, career low in interceptions, like awesome playoff games, representing the franchise well, really seemed like an opportunity for him to do that. And we'll see how this season plays out, but they're absolutely right. Like, Jalen is next in line for a new contract. He would have every right to go to the Eagles and ask for a new deal. For him to be 11th is crazy. Like, it just is when you look at his resume and what he's accomplished. So, you know, Jalen had that quote about money is nice, championships are nicer. It's going to be a good test of that, because the Eagles have a lot of guys to pay this offseason. They have a lot of decisions to make with some of their high paid guys like AJ Brown. And if Jalen comes asking for a new deal too, like, that obviously impacts things. So, not saying Jalen should prioritize winning. It's his career. He should get every penny he can. That's what every other player in the league is going to do. But definitely a situation that is looming for them is that Jalen could ask for a new deal. He has a cap hit in 2026 of $31 million. He's due a option bonus of $26 million on September 1st, 2026. So, you know, the cap hit is not high by any stretch, but it's gone from, you know, I think it's like 15 to 21 to 31. So it is slowly getting up there. I could see a world where the Eagles want to minimize that a bit. But in order to do that, they're going to have to cut another huge check his way. So Jeremy Fowler's right. We'll see how the year plays out. But I mean, if the Eagles win the Super Bowl again, there's no question. Like, Jalen will get a new deal. It's really just a matter of how hard he's going to push for it, how much he pushes for it, and how much that impacts other things that the Eagles are going to be able to do. Speaking of things that the Eagles can do, and frankly nobody else can do, the tush push was once again a topic of conversation with league meetings happening over this past week. As a result, Executive Vice President of Football Operations Troy Vincent was asked about the tush push. It's been a big topic of conversation on NFL Network. And he was asked specifically about the officiating of the play. That's become a big talking point with the play, is that now it's tough to officiate. So obviously the goalpost move, right? First, it's not a football play. Then it is not a safe play. Then it's an aesthetic thing, and now it's an officiating thing. So my opinion on this is, like, I do think it's probably hard to officiate. Like, too bad. Officiating's a tough job, and if they're struggling with it, then it just is what it is. It's not like it's being run all over the league. It's pretty much strictly an Eagles thing. So it's tough to officiate, but if they're running it by the rule, And if they get away with like a fault, like a bit of a false start or whatever, like teams get away with stuff all the times on plays. There's probably 3 to 4 flags you could call in every single play that are not called. And so, you know, I'm not going to act like the Eagles are getting some massive advantage because this play is having trouble being officiated correctly. Now, the question is whether or not this will be the reason the play ends up getting banned by the NFL. I don't think it will be. I don't think the officiating aspect of it will be enough. I still think the only thing that could ultimately kill the tush push is a player safety thing. And seeing if, you know, hopefully nobody gets hurt, but if the rest of the year, like, one or two players get injuries that keep them off the field for a while, I could see that really impacting it. But in terms of the actual officiating of it and the aesthetic of it, I don't think that will end up being the reason it's banned. And you can kind of hear it in there with, like, the Eagles run it well is Troy Vincent's take on it. And I think that's ultimately what a lot of owners' takes will be if they do vote again on this. All right, so we're going to preview the Eagles wide receivers versus the Giants defensive backs here, because on the other side, I really want to get into some trade candidates. And let's be real, like, this is not a super intriguing matchup to preview. The Giants don't have great defensive backs. The Eagles, again, in that first game, really did have opportunities to move the ball. And I thought that their receivers won the matchups against the Giant receivers. There was against the Giants defensive backs. There were stretches of that game where Jalen completed 15 yards, 16 yards, 17 yards. He had Devontae Smith wide open. And like, it's only been 2 weeks since we talked about these matchups. And since then, the Giants defensive backs got absolutely lit up in Denver to the tune of 33 points in the fourth quarter. So in terms of who's out there, Paulson Adebo is still out there. Deontay Banks, it seems like they're splitting times. Cordell Flott against the Broncos played almost all the snaps. He's, of course, the one that had the interception versus the Eagles. Andrew Phillips remains their nickel corner. You look at how the Eagles receivers did last year just statistically. A.J. Brown versus Adebo had 4 catches on 7 targets for 55 yards. Dotson versus Adebo had 1 catch on 1 target for 17 yards. Devontae didn't have a big game, but we know he ran wide open in that game. So ultimately, the Giants defensive backs are just not that good. Their passing defense is, you know, average. It's right in the middle of the league in terms of what they're allowing per yards attempt. So just not a tough matchup. If Jalen Hurts gets time, if Jalen Hurts gets protection, he should be able to pick this defensive backs apart. All right. On the other side, we're going to get into some trade targets because the trade deadline is less than 2 weeks away. The Eagles obviously have some needs, and more names are coming out as to who could be moved at the deadline. So ESPN went through a list of trade candidates, attached the Eagles to 7 names, but I'm going to get into 3 names that we haven't really talked about. So that'll be on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Answers.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniel's and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
So good, so good, so good.
New markdowns are on at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save even more, up to 70% on dresses, tops, boots, and handbags to give and get.
Because I always find something amazing.
Just so many good brands.
I get an extra 5% off with my Nordstrom credit card. Total queen treatment.
Join the Nordy Club at Nordstrom Rack to unlock our best deals. Big gifts, big perks. That's why you rack.
Okay, so as we know, the Eagles did add Brandon Graham this week to the roster, and they're expecting him to obviously play. We'll see how much of a impact he can make, but they have already added to the edge position. And the comparison I've made, and you know, I apologize if you've heard this, but it's like when the Phillies added David Robertson at the deadline, like free signing, veteran guy, had been with the team, but it's not good enough unless they went out and they added a Johan Duran, right? Like, ultimately, the Brandon Graham signing is a nice pickup, but it can't be the only pickup that they make. So they still have needs at corner. They still have, I still think they have a need at edge. I think you could argue they could use a veteran safety. They could use a guard. So like, there are plenty of places the Eagles could go out and add. And it does seem there are going to be quite a bit of players on the trading block at the deadline. So let's get into some of those players and who might make sense for the Eagles. So first up, again, this is via ESPN, some players that they think could be moved. First up, Reek Woolen, the cornerback from Seattle. And ESPN writes, quote, "Multiple league execs here have Woolen earmarked as a strong trade candidate leading into the deadline. They've been wanting to move him for a while," one executive said. "He doesn't fit what Mike McDonald wants to do. Woolen would best be served going to a team that can utilize his man coverage traits. One potential hurdle to a deal, Seattle's other starting quarter, Devin Witherspoon, has had a difficult time staying healthy this season." That's according to Jeremy Fowler. What does the tape say about him? Well, ESPN writes, "A fourth-year pro with 6'4" frame and elite speed, Woolen has 11 interceptions and 30 pass breakups in his career. Inconsistent tackling and lapse in eye discipline have prevented him from reaching his ceiling, but Woolen has the physical traits to make a defense majoring in man coverage," end quote. So, does he make sense for the Eagles? I think there's obviously a few boxes that he checks. The size, like the Eagles talk all the time about players they want to acquire, have to check like a special box. Like Jeff Stoutland talks about it in more specific terms. And obviously this is offensive lineman, not a corner, but it is an organizational thought. Like, what's your elite trait? Like, what's the thing that differentiates you from other people? And with Reek Woolen, it's pretty obvious. First of all, the 11 interceptions from a production standpoint stands out, but 6'4" elite speed, like that's a player you take a chance on. Now, do they want a developmental guy, or do they want somebody that they can feel they can play right away? I think you might see them lean towards more of a veteran, but in terms of developmental aspects, like Reek Woolen definitely checks those boxes. So as you see in there, they're trying to move him. That means that the price tag to acquire him probably won't be that much. The real question will be, you know, do the Eagles feel he fits his system, and how do they feel about his tackling? Because tackling has been an issue for the Eagles corners. Keeley's not a great tackler. Makuba has been really hit or miss when it comes to tackling. So adding another weak tackling corner into that room could be a concern. All right, the other player that I think would make sense for the Eagles, or they would at least have interest in, that ESPN mentions is Cam Britt Taylor, the cornerback from Cincinnati. ESPN writes, quote, "Taylor Britt was a healthy scratch Thursday night against Pittsburgh, forcing him to contemplate his immediate future. DJ Turner and Dax Hill have emerged as the Bengals' primary corners. Taylor Britt has shown flashes, but he needs to up his 2026 free agency value, and he could use a fresh start. Perhaps the Bengals will give one to him. His former defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo is now coordinating the Colts' defense, which is depleted at corner. As to what the tape shows," ESPN writes, "Taylor Britt is only 26 years old and has the traits that might entice some teams. He can match vertically in man coverage due to his long speed, but I see a better fit in a zone-heavy defenses. Taylor Britt had 7 interceptions and 15 pass breakups from 2023 to 2024, end quote. So a similar prospect to Woolen has the elite speed, is only 26 years old, has the upside, has the production. Again, it would come down to if Vic Fangio feels he can fit in his defense. The fact that he's a free agent in 2026 would clearly impact his price tag. I don't know if the Eagles would be interested in giving up anything of note for somebody, especially young, that they feel could come in and increase their value quickly. If he's going to come here, play awesome, and then be a free agent, like, that doesn't do the Eagles a ton of benefit outside of getting the good play the rest of the season. So in terms of what type of asset they would give up, I would think that that would be a pretty low asset. So yeah, something to consider with him is the free agency status, but definitely at 26 years old with the physical traits he has, the interceptions would make sense. And I would say from the corner position overall, like obviously Quinyon's playing like awesome, right? Cooper DeJean has been good, I would say. Like he's had hit or miss moments, had the awesome play against Justin Jefferson, got a little lucky in week one when CeeDee Lamb beat him for what could have been a really big catch late in the game. But I think it's, you know, do they trust Keeley the rest of the way? Adoree Jackson, I would guess, unlikely to play on Sunday against the Giants. I just don't get the sense they trust Keeley. Like, Keeley has had chances to win the job, hasn't done it. He was given the job in season, and it was immediately taken right back from him. He was on the roster when Vic Fangio got here, and they drafted two corners, and they kept Darius Slay. So, like, they've had chances to play him and have passed on him. I think also with Adoree being a free agent, they know that, like, his long-term future here, his long-term future here is not great. So I think a young player would make sense. It's just the free agency aspect of Britt Taylor that could confuse things. All right, finally on this list is an edge. Now, I will say, acquiring an edge is kind of tricky because now with Brandon Graham here, let's say, you know, on game days, they're going to play four edges. And in the playoffs last year, we saw them go down to three edges. But let's say they're going to play four edges on game day. Well, Nolan Smith, Jalix Hunt, and Brandon Graham are going to be three of them. I know we don't know what Nolan Smith is going to be able to play like the rest of the year, but we do know when Nolan Smith is active and healthy, he will be playing. They will not be benching Nolan Smith. Jalix Hunt has been their most consistent edge this year. He's going to play. Brandon Graham didn't come out of retirement to be a healthy scratch, and he's not going to play special teams, I'd assume. So he's going to play. That really leaves one spot. In that one spot, there's Azeez Ojulari, there's Josh Uche, there's Patrick Johnson, and there's a potential of trading for somebody. So that's the complicating part here. Like, it doesn't seem like Trey Hendrickson's going to get traded. Obviously, if he did, he would jump to the front of it. But the question is, like, are you going to make Josh Uche or Azeez Ojulari a healthy scratch? I think making Azeez Ojulari a healthy scratch wouldn't be a big deal. They're more than willing to do it in the beginning of the year. But Josh Uche has played every game. I think he's been okay. So it's not as clear cut to acquire an edge as people think. But let's talk about one edge that I think would make sense, and that is an edge for the Atlanta Falcons. Arnold Ebiketie is how I believe you pronounce it. I looked it up. I practiced it. I heard the feedback about the mispronounced names. Arnold Ebiketie. So, first of all, a player that I believe they have interest in, so definitely worth keeping an eye on. And ESPN writes, quote, Ebiketie has had trade interest dating back to the offseason. The 2022 second-round pick is on an expiring contract, and rookies James Pierce Jr. and Jalon Walker are a big part of Atlanta's future at edge rusher. The Falcons don't necessarily want to trade Ebiketie, but typically at least listen to offers when presented. Now, what does the tape say about him? ESPN writes, at 6'2", 250 pounds, Ebiketie fits into the profile of a 3-4 edge rusher who can be schemed in sub-package sets. He is a linear mover with short area speed and the hand usage to set up blockers. Defenses could use Ebiketie as a nickel rusher. He doesn't have a sack yet in 2025, but he had exactly six in each of the past two seasons. End quote. So I think he obviously makes sense as like a depreciated asset, a second round pick that had 12 sacks over 2 years and now isn't playing because of other roster moves that the team has made. He's also someone I don't think will come in and demand playing time, but could come in and be like that third edge, right? And now really the top, well, I think the issue is not like the snap counts. The issue is who would be the guys. Like once the game starts, Nolan Smith is going to get a bunch of snaps. Jalix Hunt will get a bunch of snaps. But I don't think it's crazy that Brandon Graham could be fourth in snaps. The issue is he's just not going to be inactive. So if you go and you get Ebiketie, then I think he would fit in nicely as like a role player guy with upside. Now, again, he has the free agency thing that you're dealing with Britt Taylor. So certainly something to keep in mind in terms of what the trade value would be. But I think he would be wouldn't be an instant impact guy, but would be someone you could feel excited about as like a rotational edge that would up the floor, I think, of the room. All right. So that'll do it for today's Daily Go Birds. Go out. Enjoy your Thursday. We're almost at Friday. We're almost at another Eagles game. And, you know, now that they've won, it's exciting to look forward to the Eagles again. So have a good day. Thank you for listening. As always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Doug. Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.